I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH Boston. It is all but official. 2016 will almost certainly go into the books as the warmest year on record. And if that sounds familiar, that's because it's the third year in a row that we're saying that. It's hard to argue anymore that the planet is not warming up fast and that we're quickly heading into very dangerous territory. Unless you're part of the incoming Trump administration, the president-elect and the people he's named to key positions largely dismiss the threat of climate change and the mountains of science behind it. And of course, they're in a very strong position to influence how the world responds to the climate crisis. The World's environment editor, Peter Thompson, is our eyes and ears on all things climate. So it's look-ahead time for 2017, Peter. What do you see?
Well, in the crudest terms, Marco, it's going to keep getting warmer. Researchers say 2017 might be a little cooler than 2016. And like you said, with little dips and wobbles along the way, the trend is just up, up, up with all the dangers that brings. Rising sea levels, coastal flooding, bigger heat waves, droughts, bigger downpours, even more people displaced by all this. But of course, 2017 was the year that we were actually supposed to, as a world, start getting serious about taking on this crisis. We had the landmark Paris Climate Accord just a little more than a year ago. It went into effect last fall. That set up this year as the year that virtually every country in the world was going to start making the changes that would start bringing climate pollution down to a less dangerous level. But of course, now with Donald Trump heading into the White House, that's all very uncertain again.
Right. And the answer to the question, what is Trump going to do about it, might not please a lot of environmentalists. So he said he's going to pull out of the Paris Climate Agreement. Are we in or are we out of this agreement? And will the planet ever forgive the U.S. if it does back out?
Well, he campaigned on pulling us out of the agreement. So if we take him at his word, we're out. Now, that wouldn't be easy or quick to do, but the U.S. could do a lot even if it takes several years to pull out. Even if they don't officially pull out, we can stop funding stuff, for instance. We'd pledged a lot of money to help a lot of poorer countries in the rest of the world deal with climate change. If we stop doing that, that's just by itself a big monkey wrench in the works. You know, as for whether the planet will forgive us, frankly, the planet may already not forgive us, Trump or no Trump. We've already probably locked in lots of warming and all the impacts that'll bring. And the climate system is very unforgiving. I mean, the physics about this is really quite simple. The atmosphere is very sensitive to different levels of greenhouse gases. And research on that going back tens of thousands, millions of years demonstrates that. We've already knocked the climate system out of the stability that has supported human civilization for 10,000 years. That's not to say, though, that what happens in the next 4 or 8 years is not important. It's very important because many of the best scientists out there say we've got a very small window, just a few years perhaps, to squeeze through to make sure that we don't cross that threshold toward catastrophic climate change. If the Trump administration puts the brakes on efforts to fight climate change, that window is going to get even smaller.
And what about adaptation to climate change? I mean, if the Trump administration and members of it think it's a hoax, is there anything to suggest Trump would back away from plans to protect shorelines or to think about ways of protecting the Mississippi Delta from an actual Category 5 hurricane?
Well, sure. I mean, some of the most important agencies, the EPA, the Department of Energy, they are going to be led, if these nominees are approved, by people who do not believe in climate change. That's not to say, you know, a lot of what happens in individual states and localities around the country comes from individual states and localities. And that's a very different picture because we've got a lot of states, coastal states in particular, that understand that climate change is real and that they've got to do something about it, whether Washington is in the game or not.
A lot of climate scientists say if we really want to reverse this climate change thing, we have to keep fossil fuels in the ground. So what are Trump's plans for oil and coal?
Well, you heard a lot of very strong pro-coal and pro-oil rhetoric from Donald Trump in the campaign. Again, he hasn't backed off any of that. He has promised to restore coal jobs. The reality is it's going to be very hard to do that. I mean, we've heard a lot on our own airwaves recently about some of the bigger economic and technological trends that are behind that, much more so even than policy coming out of the White House and the EPA under President Obama. So certainly Trump and the Republicans in Congress can make certain initiatives. They can get rid of some of the subsidies and tax breaks for renewable energy and electric cars and things like that. They can make more land available for oil drilling and other resource development. But it will be very hard to return to the energy picture that was in place 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago, regardless of what Donald Trump does. The technology has just shifted. The economy is shifting incredibly quickly. The demand is going elsewhere. The demand is going to renewables. It's not to say that there aren't going to be more coal plants. There's not going to be more coal dug. There's not going to be more oil pulled up. But big picture, the country and the world are moving in another direction.
When you think about the future of the environment under President Donald Trump, what is the big story that occurs to you about the United States' interconnectedness with the rest of the world?
Well, I think some of it is that very idea of interconnectedness. Trump's philosophy, to the degree that you can define it, basically says the U.S. should act alone and should not make big commitments to help everybody else. We should be helping ourselves. To many people's eyes, that ignores the reality of the way that problems like this work. This is a global problem. This is a problem that has been caused by all of us and can only be solved by all of us. Certainly, some of us bear more responsibility than others. The United States bears the most responsibility for climate change so far. You could argue that we therefore have the most responsibility to do something. In any case, it's a global problem. It requires a global solution. Also, as we cut ourselves off, we're going to have other countries that are going to be reacting to that. And maybe they're going to slap some tariffs on us. If we don't put a price on carbon, they put prices on carbon. Donald Trump talks a lot about tariffs for unfair trade practices. Other countries might consider not putting a price on carbon as an unfair trade practice.
Yeah, and it occurs to me all that effort and energy to get China on board with the climate treaty. I mean, could we be looking at a scenario where China is actually taking the lead in fighting climate change?
I think we might already be seeing that. I mean, after years of not taking it so seriously and of saying, like, this was your problem, you started it, we have to look at for ourselves and improve our economy and our standard of living. They've really gotten serious about climate change. They work closely together with the U.S. and President Obama the last few years, but they don't need us to keep going. And they've got other economic and public health interests that are very strongly behind the push that they're making to move away from coal, away from dirty development to clean development.
The World's Environment editor, Peter Thompson, thank you as always.
Thanks, Marco. It'll be an interesting year.